Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us again this week on Point. I'm your host, A. Trey, with my co, Dr. James Moore and Lady Therese. How are you guys doing today?
Doing good.
Doing
good
well.
Morning. How are you?
Fine. I'm perfect. I figure any day I could open my eyes, I have no complaints.
I hear that.
Everybody, listen, we want to say thank you. You've helped us push. We passed a threshold back there. We went past 30. We're at our 36th episode, and we want to thank you for listening, for tuning in, for giving us your feedback and everything. So we appreciate that. This week in our segment, State of Our Union, it's Unmasking Baltimore. This week, we want to take a serious look at the stories behind this story happening in Maryland. What's the disconnect? What's the antidote? What's the answer? And then if and when it's found, what's next? The riot versus the rage. What changed the landscape of quiet and calm to a maelstrom of civil unrest? We have those questions, and hopefully we can supply some answers as well. Jay, how have you been? I know you've been keeping up with what's been going on. What are your feelings toward this whole fiasco, this whole chain of actions that's been going on as of late?
Wow. You know, part of me is excited that people are actually standing up for what they believe is right. Now, did it get a little out of control? Yeah, I think perhaps in some lenses it did. It doesn't take away the, you know, folks' right to express themselves. I think we had a similar incident in Ferguson where things perhaps got a little bit out of control. But
just a touch.
I think that, say again?
I said just a touch.
Yeah, right. And I think that the issue revolves around the fact that there's a perspective issue in and around with the black community from the police department, and maybe I would as far as to say it's the media, because they're portraying groups of folks in a very negative or pejorative aspect. And what I mean by that is for instance, someone wins a national championship and they go out and they do things that are in that same line or even worse than what's going on there in Baltimore, and they're rioting, but they call it a celebration.
Right.
You have the Baltimore situation, that type of thing is going on, and it's called riots, and, you know, they put emphasis and perspectives on, you know, well, the gangs are getting together, going after the police. When that was founded, it wasn't true. They put a lot of emphasis on something called the Black Guerrilla Family, and Fox used that
Thank
a
you.
Whole lot, and
Thank
I thought that
you,
was
Fox
really
News.
Interesting. But, you know, I just want to say something here, man, and I want to share a perspective with you. Years ago, I watched a TV show, and they showed a gentleman who was wearing boots that weren't laced up, like, you know, black leather boots, wearing jeans. He had maybe like a muscle shirt on and a leather jacket that wasn't buttoned up, and he was running. And it was, you know, he had the perspective that he was running from someone. And as this camera zooms out, you see him running toward this older lady carrying a purse. And you think, oh, my God, he's going to snatch grandma's purse. And as he gets even closer, he puts out his arm as though he's going to clothesline grandma. My thought was, oh, someone's about to clothesline grandma. That's not cool. And as you pull out a little bit more, he's actually tackling this elderly lady. And I'm thinking, what a horrible thing. Now, this is all taking place in slow motion, and every few seconds they're panning back with the camera. And the last angle that they pan out and let you see is that she's walking underneath some sort of site where folks are moving, and they're lifting a very large piano. And it has snapped its cable and is about to fall and crush her. Now, the reason why I bring this story up, yes, is because it's all about perspectives and narratives. And if they lay that perspective improperly, or if you don't have angles and the information on the scenario, it's easy to misinterpret what's going on. And
exactly.
I think that's what we have to look at, is what's really truly going on. And I'm pretty sure a guy that's drugging to a van that can't move his legs isn't going to bang himself around until he breaks his own neck or back. There's a perspective there.
You have to, they say, clinically, you'd have to be clinically insane to, in order to hurt yourself. Have you ever bit your thumb and then you meet that threshold of pain and you stop?
Mm-hmm. Of course.
You'd have to clinically insane to, or in dire straits, in need of saving your life in order to hurt
mm-hmm.
a part of your life. So you couldn't,
of
if
course.
You bit your finger right now, you couldn't draw blood. I mean, you physically
right.
can. You are capable of it, but psychologically, there are so
You're
many
to
safeguards
stop.
To prevent you from hurting yourself. And
agreed.
To say that this man who was bound in handcuffs, Mr. Gray, bound on ankle bracelets and has a waist shackle on, would say, you know what, I'm feeling rather self-destructive today. I think I'm going to bash my head against this metal thing here. Moments earlier, it was seen and it's caught. The police looked at him. He looked at the police. He walked on. They turned around, and he took off. In lieu of all of these things that have been happening with the police, and I'm not scared of a whole heck of a lot. I think I'd have took off, too. I'd have took off, too. Unarmed? Yeah. And the thing that he feared the most is exactly what happened to him. Now, I believe... And here's something else. They drove around for 45 minutes.
Yes.
And 45 minutes. He was never taken to the police station. And then, as if to make an excuse for their actions, they said, well, there was another prisoner inside. And he said that though he never seen the man, he could hear that there was banging. And that's a possibility. He was late. They stopped at. They made two stops, opened the back door, checked on him again, laid him on his stomach outside of the restraints that are on a bench. No seatbelt, laid him on the floor, and a whole metal construct. Really? Really? And then you expect a different outcome? Then they showed the route they took, left turns, as if they were on an Indy Speedway. It was as if, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that I'm glad that those six cops were charged, because for a while, I thought that wasn't nothing going to happen, because we have saw so many cases with the cops injuring the public or killing our youth. Fires with Michael Brown, Trayvon Martin, it goes a lot. The list gets longer. And for something to actually happen, it's a good thing. It's sad that that young man's life had to be taken away. It's sad that they made two to four stops before they even got him to the police station. You broke his spine. You done things that was unnecessary that didn't have to be done instead of taking him to get him some medical help. But I'm glad that charges were filed. Maybe this will make an example to other police officers, because lives matter, regardless if they're black lives, white lives, Asian lives, regardless. Everybody matters. You don't deserve to die, regardless of if that person had a bad past or if that person had a bad history. It doesn't matter. You can't just have to take somebody's life. And if I hear somebody say one more time that a police officer is scared, well, if you're scared, then don't do the job. Find something else to do.
Don't do it. Yes.
But I'm glad that it's being done, because it's ridiculous. I do agree that we shouldn't riot. But after so long, a person gets tired. People get tired of hearing these stories, and then nothing happening to the police officers. So I'm glad that something finally took place. Maybe this would be an eye-opener for the rest of the cops that decide to do these crazy things.
That's a great point, Teresa. And I think here's probably the issue, and I think that city probably realized that if they didn't get this under control, that what they deemed as a riot currently would probably turn into something much worse. That being said, Trey, I'd like to address a couple other points. Now, Trey, you know me. Normally I stay pretty calm and reserved about things, but I'm a little fired up this weekend. Let me tell you why. A couple of things are going on. This issue with the folks out there rioting and this new use of the word thug that we're hearing a lot, I think, as we all know, thug is replacing another word. And I'm sure we all know what that word is. But what I found to be very interesting is, you know, and I happen to check out a couple other, you know, the comedy news shows and so on, but they make some pretty valid points, which is right now they're talking about, you know, we have this African-American president. He's not stepping in to do anything about the riot. And I find it very interesting is now that folks are standing up for their rights and doing something that other folks deem to be a little bit perhaps off kilter, now he's an African-American president. Not too long ago, they were still trying to research his birth certificate claiming he was Kenyan or at least not born in the United States. And I find that very interesting and a little bit perturbing that they can throw all these terms around. Meanwhile, we have Ted Cruz here running for president. And if I'm not mistaken, his birth certificate is Canadian. Now, I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure he wasn't born in the United States. Now, I want to know, where is Mr. Donald Trump checking this out and opening up some sort of investigative
Arpaio, where are you at?
Just something that, like I said, that kind of chaps my hide a little bit that you hear this. And what this really, really gets going under my skin is the fact that they've actually caused the riots to supersede the other story that happened before the Walter Scott issue and all these things that are going on. Is there was an issue with water in Baltimore. Now,
The same thing that happened in Detroit.
Now, I can tell you why it was happening in Michigan. In Michigan, you have a situation where you have a lot of folks who are taking up property and residence in Michigan, and if they're going in and trying to gentrify these areas or at least get those people out because Detroit has access to major shipping ports, if they clear that area out, Detroit's going to be dilapidated for a while, but it's going to be rebuilt in, you know, a crazy fashion if they decided to actually go that route. But here's my issue with Baltimore. If you have businesses and poor people who are not paying their water bills, and you decide that you're not making your money, so you have to cut the water off, if you cut the water off from the people and not the businesses, this is disparate treatment. You're not treating everyone fair across the board. That's a strategy designed to drive the people out. You know, it's very interesting. It's the basis of a coup. I remember a mentor told me, he said, you know, when you want to have a coup in a country, he said, the first thing you do is you kill the teachers because they teach people to be enlightened. He says, then you kill the lawyers because they interpret the law. And then you kill the judges because they enforce the law. See, once you do that, it's easy to come in and get new perspectives out there. And I thought that was a very interesting perspective because if you go back to, like, California where Reagan went in and started changing the school system, that was a kind of a little side way of doing the teachers in. And what happened after that? The economy went real south. Okay. And I know I'm digressing a little bit, but the point that I'm making is this is the first step to damaging that community. And you got to wonder, like, why are people rioting? Well, you know, they don't have the things they need. Water is a necessity for human life, just like air. If someone came in tomorrow and said they're going to charge me for air, I'm rioting.
And there's a thing. That's the thing. There are so many stories behind that story. That was the match. Like, that was a powder keg of things were happening. The young man, and I might be mispronouncing, I will come back, and I apologize if I am. His name is Michael Vincent, and it's another story. Young man walking down the street, it's as if it was shot in a mini movie, a PSA or something. The kid is walking down the street, pants kind of saggy, no biggie, you know, has a little job, but we'll get to it. She's walking down the street, a little saggy, sees this lady, she's got a walker. She's walking toward the corner, la, 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 la. The kid picks up his pace, he starts running after the lady. She shifts her purse over to the opposite side. A police officer is looking at this. Police officer comes out of the shop, and I guess they're an eatery, gets into the car. They start to turn around. The kid grabs the woman and rolls into the street. the officers put the officers turn around and they're coming at the kid. The kid gets up, helps the lady up, and then walks her across the street. When she gets there, he pats her on the shoulder and starts to take off. The police officers pull over to the side. They draw him down, and they slam him against the wall. And the lady, they had the conversation. What was missed was that, and this is on an opposite. This is on another side in Baltimore. Another side in Baltimore. The kid is 17 years old, honor student. No history of police arrest, no bad marks in school, never seen the principal outside of saying, thank you for giving me my next honor certificate, you know, my next award, thank you. And they roughed this kid up pretty bad. She was walking toward the corner. The curb was broken, and she would have fell. Well, she did fall. He caught her. And took the brunt of the fall.
Interesting.
I believe that she was 84 years old, and her name is Desiree Withers. She was 84 years old. He took the brunt of it, let the walker go, and hit the deck in the street. Cars, traffic stopped. All they saw, in predominantly Caucasian side of town, they saw this black boy hit this old Caucasian woman, tackle her. And then it's as if that's all that happened. He got up, lifted her up, brushed her off, handed her her walker, walked her across the street, guided her around another broken part of the sidewalk, put her on the sidewalk, brushed off her shoulder, and patted her. She went to hug him. He grabbed her hand, and then he started to walk away, jog away, had someplace else to be. Police come over, rough him up, throw him against the wall, and he ends up in the hospital. But you don't hear that. You don't hear that.
Mm-hmm.
It's gone. There's another story. A mother. And by the way, the young man probably saved the old woman's life. She's in a walker. She's with a walker. So if she'd have hit the deck, which she was going to inevitably do, from 6 inches off of the ground in Baltimore, that's their curb site, their curb height, because they have in-city drainage, or in-city drainage system sewer lines underneath. They don't have that here. Not the same way. She could have broke her hip. She could have broke her ribs. Ribs could have snapped, hit her heart. Anything. She could have hit her head. If she's already with the walker, it's already letting you know she has physical impairments or limitations, excuse me. But that was overlooked. They didn't look at the better part of what he did. The Crypt and the Bloods, Black Gorilla Family, or the Black mm-hmm. Gorilla Family. Okay, Gorilla, G-U-E, not G-O-R-I-L-A.
Right.
Military. So the guy goes on Fox News, he says, it's just ironic that you would pick a name that suits what you're trying to become. Wait a minute. Did you just call us a bunch of frickin' gorillas?
Two things on that, Trey. I'm sorry to cut you off, bro, but I have to say two things. Either one, he was uneducated and didn't know what a gorilla was versus a gorilla. Or he intentionally stated what his heart was carrying.
Oh, my God.
Both.
Oh, my God. And is that a lesser eloquent way to present what you think about black people like LaPierre?
Of course. Of course. When he said demographically symbolic, we knew what he meant. Because what he
yes.
did at that point is he tried to verbally castrate the president. We get that. We understand what he means by that. And now, correct me if I'm wrong. Now, I understand I've done historical research in context of names, but I'm pretty sure LaPierre is not an American original name. Just, that's just,
isn't it just
I'm going to say that.
Maybe it's me, but isn't it just a tad bit French? just a tad bit cringe.
I'm pretty sure.
Oh, okay. Just had to get that out there.
Maybe perhaps we should research his birth certificate and give him the benefit of the doubt, though.
Yeah. You know, and it's, I mean, you know, because we can do that now. We have that right. You know. And perspective. This mother. Okay, real quick. When I was younger, your community, and you've heard the cliche, it takes a community to raise a child. When I was younger, if you did something bad on your block, and I'm not ashamed of it, if you did something bad on your block, everybody and their grandmama, damn near literally, excuse me, got in your behind.
Of course.
Today, the man that I am today, I have no ill feelings or ill will toward anybody in my past when I was a little boy because they kept me right. I'm not a perfect man, but I'm perfectly designed, I believe, and I have a perfect outlook, in my opinion, on how a man should treat his community, his friends, and his family. And that's mm-hmm. that's my opinion. But and I try to execute that. Quick story, playing stickball in the street, Camden, New Jersey. I'm on Mount Vernon. Hit the ball. They said, take it over to the lot. There's a lot right next door to Pep Boys and this other place. Man, it took me back. Okay, so we hit the window to my mom's, my nana's neighbor. The window, it's a stickball, so it's a handball, if you ever played that. Hits the window, breaks mm-hmm. the window. Some of the boys run, a couple of them stay. The neighbor comes out, and she says, Lily, get over here. And she's, Gilbert, you too. And then she said, I don't know you, but I know your mama. You come over here too. And you don't even live on this block. You, Miss Damon's child. Sit over here. She grabbed me by the ears. She smacked me on my hands. And she says, you need to apologize. You broke my window. You're going to do some work. And she got the other little boys too. Then on my way out, she on my way out the door, because she was walking me over to my grandmother, she smacked me on my behind. Then she took me over to mm-hmm. my grandmother's, two doors down. My nana kicked my butt because I embarrassed her. I don't know how that happened, but okay. Her neighbor had to bring me home for doing something that she implicitly stated. Do not play ball in this street because you could break a window. And I did exactly that thing. Then my papa came home, my grandfather got home, and he got me because my nana got me. He said, you don't make this woman get upset. And then my mom came to get me from picking me up for the day while she was at work. And she had to kick my butt because my nana told her, your son embarrassed me and made me upset. And mm-hmm. because she's watching me, my mom kicked my butt. So my thing was, don't play stickball. Don't play stickball in the street. And those other little boys, they got dealt with too. And
right,
they're productive members of society. These kids nowadays, they don't know what a Hot Wheel track is.
No. Nowadays, things have changed. It's crazy now because back in the day, you could get a whooping from several different people. Nowadays, it's child abuse. The child can call on you. Your child can get divorced from you. So things have
really
changed dramatically compared to where it used to be, and it's sad.
I think that some of these laws were not created with, and I don't, if forgive me if these overtones sound bigoted, but I don't think that some of these laws were created for African-American people or Latinos. It just wasn't. We couldn't divorce our parents. Divorce your parents.
No.
Excuse me, I never married them. I was born.
Well, and things are so different now, Trey, because I remember being threatened by my parents, and I knew whether it was 100% true or not, I believed it. Like, you know, my mom basically, there was one time I got in trouble, and I remember looking at the phone on the wall, and she looked at me, and I looked back at her, and I knew what she meant. She said, you can call if you want to, and what she was saying is, you can race to the phone, but if you beat me to the phone, well, that's kind of the end for you. So I was like, you know, I think I'm going to go to my room and just kind of hang out, because parents back then didn't have the fear of disciplining their kids. And as you mentioned,
and
getting in trouble down the street, I remember Miss Beatrice grabbed me, took me to my grandmother's house, and she said, your boy was down the street slinging rocks. Now, let me give some context to that, because back then that just meant throwing rocks, okay? It's not what it means today. I told that story to my students. They're like, you used to sell drugs and
slinging
rocks.
Man, okay, you were slinging. You
were throwing rocks in the street and almost hitting houses and cars. So she called it slang. She was old. You know, that was throwing rocks down the street. But she took me, grabbed me by the scruff of my neck to my grandmother and beat me all the way to grandma's house. And then got there, and grandma broke out of fly swatter. Now, me, I won't say I'm a hemophiliac or anything like that, but I thought it was disgusting grandma hit me with fly swatter. So that was enough to stick with me to say, you know what, you hit me with that nasty fly swatter. I understand I'm not supposed to throw rocks in the street. I get that. Now, that being said, I think there's a distinct line between discipline and beating your kids. I don't think you should beat them senseless. But
yeah.
A smack on the butt or a thump on the knuckle to say, hey, look, keep your head straight so you don't get hit by a car or don't get in the I mean, we all got our fair share of getting our butts tore up. I've never spent a day in jail.
On that, because everyone has stated or put something in there about how the village corrected the children.
And
the
not
day
the
of
cops,
our villages,
by the way. I just want to throw that in there.
Exactly. The day of our villages is dissipated. It's gone. It no longer exists. Hats off
now, before
to
you
this
go,
mother. Hold on. Before let me get to
yes.
that. Hats off
go
to
ahead,
that
go
mom.
Go ahead. I know where you're going. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Found the young man. Found the young man in the crowd. Snatched him up. Did him dirty. Smacked him. Punched him in the chest. Smacked him on the shoulder. Across the top of the head. And she refused to allow some thug just be disrespectful. Oh, wait. Did I forget to mention it was her son?
Yes, she handled him like a man.
That mother was well within her rights, and her point was this. You are all I've got, and you're going to put yourself in harm's way? You're going to wear a mask to cover who you are, to do dirt in the name of something that actually has a just cause, unacceptable.
In that context, I agree with you 100%. 100%.
If every dad, if every mother went back to the village and helped reestablish it the way it used to be, no abuse, but guardianship, governorship, responsibility of our youth, our place would be so much better than where it is right now. She took the mask off the kid, walking down the street, kicking his butt, took the mask off, and you saw it was her son. And the whole public around just watched this woman beating on this child. And people bellowed in to say, oh, she was being abusive. But at the end of the day, did her son come home? Was he a victim
of
the police? Did he end up shot? No. Here's my closing statement. I believe that everyone has the right to live. I believe good, bad, or indifferent, you have the right to life. It was given to you. If you were an adult, it was given to you.
Right.
Savor that. Relish that. And everybody who has a gun and a law of authority, your job is to govern, not to destroy. With that
and
said,
protect.
I appreciate everybody listening. Remember, every thought you have is great. Every idea is warranted for every step you make and for every endeavor you take in this life. May they always be on point.
On point.
Next week. Peace.
Peace.